All right, tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 45 this time. Luke, chapter 24, verse 45.
Luke, chapter 24, verse 45 reads this way. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your will, Lord, your power, and your desire to glorify yourself in and each and every one of your children. Lord, we do pray that you would build Northwood for your honor and glory. May you bring unity. May you bring the spirit of your peace and your joy. And Lord, your desire to reach out into the lost world and to shine your light in and through our lives to a lost and dying world. Bless and build Northwood and all your churches for your honor and glory. And we'll give you the praise. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is simply, "Then opened he their understanding." Again, we don't have anything without the Lord. The Lord, by the way, that's the way the Lord intended it. In fact, if you stop and think about the story of Adam and Eve, what happened was there was a tree of life and there was a tree of knowledge. And that was the opportunity, really. Who am I going to listen to? Am I going to go my own way according to the way that I think? If so, that brought forth a separation or death in the relationship between Adam and Eve and the Lord. And instead of going to the tree of life, right, that was placed there. And that's, by the way, listen, when man is left to himself, that's why they had to be taken out of the garden, lest they would partake of the tree of life and live like that forever. That's not a life at all. That's not even a good existence without God. And so therefore they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And so God wants us to commune with him. He wants us to live with him, but it's under his terms. Amen. It's not on our terms, not the way that we think. It's not done by our soul or by our own thinking or our own life, but it's done by the Spirit of God. And so God wants us to understand that it's important to study the Word of God, but we must receive light from the Lord himself in order for the Word of God to fulfill the purpose that God sends it forth to do, right? He didn't send it out to return void, although it does accomplish his will. By the way, listen, it convicts the lost person. Whether or not they receive the Lord, that's their choice, is it not? That's their choice whether they receive or reject the Lord. But if we receive the Lord, that's where everything gets exciting. That's where everything begins brand new. We're born again. We have a relationship with the Lord like we never had before. And God says, okay, this is just the beginning. There's so much more that I want to give you. There's so much more that God wants to give us. And by the way, was Abraham blessed in his old age? Amen? Yeah, he was blessed in his old age. So don't count God off and say, oh, I know everything. I've seen it all. I'm not going to see anything more from the Lord. Then you'll simply don't understand the Lord, and you'll miss out on what God has for us, because he's eternal and he has more knowledge and he has more blessings than we can ever imagine. So when God gives the witness to us to give to others, God will complete that witness for and in others as well by giving them a revelation or bringing light into their life. Amen. Again, I shared with you that we saw even Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. Then he saw himself, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live and I'm in the midst of a land that's unclean. And so he realized he saw some things he had never seen before. And so God brings life where there is no life. Amen. But there has to be a death and a resurrection. You ever stop to think about this? That's why the Holy Spirit couldn't be given until the Lord rose again. Amen. And the new life also. The whole thing with the Lord, the death, the burial. And by the way, he was a perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he did that for us to help us understand how he works. And so likewise also in the life of these disciples. Listen, these dear disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ, were they not endeared to him? Absolutely. And he was endeared to them. And I want you to know something, that even them, as much as he loved them, he was not going to let them walk in their flesh or lean to their own understanding. They had to also, in all their ways, acknowledge God, or they would be blind and walk in confusion and not in the understanding that God has for them. God is the one that must bring the light into our life. He doesn't do that just for the pastor. He does that for every believer. Every believer, listen, if every believer in Northwood Baptist Church is filled with the light of God, this world will be turned upside down. This city will be turned upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. He did not send us to go out there and to compel them with the gospel and to preach the gospel to fall on deaf ears. The problem is we need the power of God and the Spirit of God actively working in our lives so that God can use the words that we speak from His Word to bring conviction by the power and grace of God that's in our life as well. All right. So as we look at this, we want to see Jesus in the midst of them. Three thoughts tonight. The Lord knows our troubles, and then only the Lord enables us to understand the Scriptures. So, back up with me to verse 36, and let's look at Jesus in the midst of them. Now, if you remember this morning, we looked at those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember them? And they thought they had some understanding. They were talking about the things of God, and then all of a sudden, the Lord comes up to them and joins them. But their eyes, the Bible says, were holden that they should not know them. Did God do that on purpose? Who held their eyes? God did. Who holds us? God does. He holds us in His hands, but He will also hold us until we humbly seek Him for His direction and understand that it is through Him and His Spirit that He can work the dynamite power, the dunamos power of the Holy Spirit that He has given to every believer. You can be indwelled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God being stifled and being grieved because we're walking in our own understanding, in our own thinking, and we can't even grow in the grace and in the faith that God has given to us until we realize that we need the Lord to open up our hearts and minds, and then we need to ask Him to do that. It's one thing to know it. We can know it and never do anything all day. That's like those people that I mentioned, I think it was last week, that die in poverty and they've got thousands and thousands of dollars stuffed in their mattress. That's the same thing for the believer, is it not? We have the dynamite power of the Lord Himself and we don't use it, right? We don't use it because we stifle it if we're filled with ourselves and with our reasoning and our understanding. That's a dangerous thing, see? Now listen, the Lord Himself said, I only do what I see my Father doing. The Lord had His own will, but He submitted His will to the Lord, to the Heavenly Father, right? And by the way, these things that God is wanting us to be careful about are not necessarily bad things. It's not wrong to buy and sell and to get involved in all those things until it gets in the way of our relationship with the Lord. Until it keeps us from seeking Him first, then all of a sudden problems come when we allow other things to enter into our life. We push the Lord out like that. Are you still saved? If you've trusted Christ, you are. Do you still have a home in heaven? Absolutely. But we'll miss everything that God wants us to enjoy on this side of eternity. That is not the will of God. And so these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, of course, they were walking with the Lord, and the Lord opens up their eyes, didn't He? Look with me, if you will, in verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. Did they know Him like they never did before? Yes, they did. Let me ask you, were they already saved? Yes, they were. Did they know Jesus? Oh, yes, they did, but they didn't know Him like this. How did that happen? Did they do that themselves? Did they immerse themselves in doctrine and doctrine and doctrine? No, it was God that brought light to what they had known. We need the Word of God. We cannot sidestep the Word of God, but be careful that we don't just stop right there, that we realize, Lord, unless You open up my mind to understand what You're saying, I'm going to miss You. Amen? I'm going to miss You. We're going to be confounded about things like these two disciples were until the Lord opened up their heart and mind. Then it says, the Bible says, their eyes were opened and they knew Him and He vanished out of their sight. And then verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Did they know the Scriptures? Yes, they did. But see, He is the one that opens the Scripture. You're not going to get anywhere without the Lord. We're not going to get anywhere without God opening the Scriptures to us. And so what happens when the Scriptures are open? What do? Well, they sat around and they just got maybe had some refreshments. And no, what does the Bible say? And they rose up the same hour. See, listen, when God opens up the Scriptures to us, He puts fire in our hearts and in our souls, and He puts action in our feet. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now, I don't know this. I'm just going to give you a little conjecture here. I don't think that their plan was, let's walk 7.5 miles to Emmaus. And then, you know what? An hour later, let's walk back 7.5 miles. I don't think that was their plan. What changed their plans? God did. God changed their plans. Who's going to change our plans? If not, we're going to walk in our own way. God is the only one that can change our plans for His. See, listen, that was not their plan to go back and tell the disciples. That was God's plan for them to go back. And no words were spoken. How do I know it was God's plan? Because God wanted them all together, because we're going to see He's going to meet with them there, right? Okay, so notice what happens here. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Boy, now they got a powerful witness, don't they? Now nobody has, listen, they're not wondering if the Lord's risen. They know. Why? Because God revealed it to them, and we need God to reveal it to us. Amen? Okay. And so they said, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed," in verse 34, "and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, did you get that? As they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Isn't that amazing? So Jesus is right in the midst of them when they are where God wants them to be. Listen, if we are not in our hearts and in our minds where God wants us to be, but we are in our hearts and our minds where we think we need to be, you won't find Jesus in the midst of you. And how will you know you don't have Jesus in the midst of you? You won't have the love of God. You won't have the peace of God. You won't have the fruit of the Spirit. You won't have the concern for lost souls. You know who we'll be thinking about without Jesus? Who will we be thinking about without Jesus? Ourselves. What we think, my way, what I want, what I think is right, what I think is wrong, instead of, oh God, there are souls out there. Oh God, listen, there are souls every day that are walking and leaving this life and going into eternity to a devil's hell because the church is without the power of God. Amen. And the only church that you and I ought to be concerned about is one church. And that's the church that God has placed us in this one. And let me ask you this, where is your heart tonight to your God and His cause? Is it focused on Him and what He wants from us? Or is it on what we think we should do? Because if we're leaning on our own understanding, we're going to be walking and groping in the dark and stumbling and falling and not being walking upright or held upright by the Lord. So He stands in the midst of them and He says, "Peace be unto you." Verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Listen. Was not Isaiah fearful when he stood in the presence of the Lord? How about John the Revelator when he was in the presence of God? How about anybody when they're in the presence of God? How about Peter, James, and John when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration and the Lord God out of heaven spoke to them and they were afraid and Jesus had to come over and touch them? So he says, verse 38, and he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled?" Now let me ask you this question. Did God not know why they were troubled? He sure did. Why does He ask them that? Because He wants to engage us so that we might understand where He's at and where He wants us to be. And here's the truth. If they knew who the Lord was the way God wanted them to know Him, they wouldn't have been fearful. So God is, listen to this, God is doing the work to bring them to where they're not afraid of Him. See, a lot of people do things because they're fearful of being a servant to the Lord. A lot of people don't do things because they don't even realize that they're being governed by their own flesh, their own soul, and they're partaking of the tree of wisdom and not of the tree of life. Amen? And so they have this life that's just in existence, but it's absent of the power of God. And so we find this, it says this, and he said to them, "Why are ye troubled," in verse 38, "and why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" He knew. All these thoughts, let me ask you this, why do thoughts arise in our hearts that are not in agreement with the Word of God, it's because we are looking to our own understanding, and we will be in fear unless we are in agreement and in compliance with the working of the Holy Spirit. By the way, and yielded that He might have His way in our life. Listen, you can be saved for a long time and not be yielded to the Spirit. You can stiff arm the Spirit, grieve the Spirit, and then maybe you're saved, but you won't have the joy of the Lord. You won't have the mercy of God, right? You won't have the peace of God that is able to say, you know what? What do we deserve as people before the Lord? What do we deserve, eternal life or death? And I'm so glad, how about you, that God gave us mercy. And if God can be merciful to us, should we not give the same? He says, if you won't forgive, neither will I forgive you. And so should we not have that? See, why would we forgive? You know, it's not natural for us to forgive, is it? You know it's not. You know it's not. Boy, oh boy, listen, doesn't that old flesh want to creep up when somebody does you wrong? And don't you want to get them back? Huh? That's the flesh. But wait a minute, we got to recognize it and say, whoa, wait a minute. That is so far away from the Lord. That is so at enmity. I don't want anything to do that with that. Oh God, that my heart and my mind won't go to that place. Because that's the old man, and the devil loves it. Oh, he loves for believers to scheme and plan on how they can go ahead and get even with somebody and pull down, listen, what God's trying to build up. Oh, we're on whose side when we're like that? Not on God's. Not on God's side when we're pulling that down. Just stiffen up that neck. Oh, and just hold your head up high, because, oh boy, you're getting your way and the devil's getting his. And guess what? God's not getting His way. Because we're not yielded to the Lord. We're walking in our own strength and our own mind. Oh boy, we can prove it. Not by the Bible, you can't. But you can prove your own cause. And I tell you, listen, there's more not said about the Bible when people are in the flesh. Christians, believers. And God says that is not the way to walk. And by the way, these believers here, they needed the Lord. Amen. They were in trouble. These disciples, before the Lord had gotten a hold of them, before the Lord had given them a personal revelation, could they have turned the world upside down? Before the Lord came and at the day of Pentecost and empowered the church, could they have performed the work of God the way God wanted it done? Neither can we. Neither can we. And so notice verse 39. He asked them before in verse 38, why are you troubled? Notice, listen, what is God doing? He is giving them a revealing. He is giving them a personal revelation. Notice what He says right here. Ready? Verse 39. Behold my hands. What is He doing? He's showing them something, isn't He? He's saying, look, I want you. What was their trouble? Remember, they thought He was a spirit. I want you to know, God is saying to them, God wants us to know who He is. Look at my hands. Do you know what a look at the Savior's hands does to the believer? It melts a heart of stone. And so notice what He says here. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Notice what He says this. Ready? Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. So he's saying, look, he's showing them. That is a personal revelation that brings the light of God into their lives. Do you know, you and I are not any different. We will walk in darkness. As a child of God, we will walk in darkness until we ask God to. And by the way, it requires being. They were afraid. They were humbled. Listen, God, that's God's work as well. But you have to be open to the idea that, you know what? I am missing God. I thought I could do it by myself. You can't. I can't. Nobody can. Nobody can. And by the way, we need to do it God's way. Here's God's way. Ready? The local New Testament church. As one body, unified in one accord, with the same mind, with the same heart for the things of God. You can't have division in the church and God glorify the church. and glorify himself through the church. You can't have a schism in the body. The Bible talks about that. And if in your heart you've got a division and you've got some things running around in your mind, you're the one that's going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to give an account for that division that you're causing in that discord, and you might be even taking glory in your way being thought of as being the right way, and it's not God's way if it's bringing division in the church. It's not God's way. You can go around, people do this, you know what, and let me tell this other here, and then all of a sudden, believers start saying, you know what, I don't like the preacher anymore. You know what? I think I'll go to another church. I'm going to go to another church. Do you know you will be an account for that? Do you know that God's not pleased with that? When you engage in that kind of conversation, I promise you that is not the Spirit of God. That is the flesh, and the devil is proud of you. Revival, give us revival. Oh, the Spirit of God. You know nothing of the Spirit of God without the love of God. And if you can't see the mercy that God has given to you, and if you can't see what people are trying to do and how they're trying to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you do is you say, and you complain and you talk about all unkind things, you're tearing down the Lord's church and you're bringing a division in the body of God, and you will give an account. And if you have no fear and no trembling, my friend, you are in a bad place. Because that's not the will of God. The will of God is for his life to be in every one of his children. But I promise you, we need the help of God, or we will be left in our own darkness and not even see it. And I will tell you this, it's important. If you hear somebody say something unkind about somebody else, do you think you should listen to that or say, wait a minute? The best thing you can do is go talk to that person. The best thing you could do is keep your mouth shut and go talk to that person, because what you're doing is the work of the devil in the flesh. And the more gossip and the more trash that we speak, it just destroys what God's trying to do. And here's what we'll do. Ready? Well, it must be somebody. I don't know why. I mean, my goodness. Why isn't our church doing better? Why are the seats empty? Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why. When we're playing games with the things of God and taking them lightly. We want God's blessings. No, we don't. Because we're not walking in God's ways. And God wants his people to walk upright with him. Amen. And to be in the right heart and the right standing. And you and I can't do that for ourselves. You can hold whatever position you think you might hold. It's not God you're not holding. And God's not pleased with that. And so notice what he says here. Behold my hands, verse 39, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones that you see me have. You know what the Lord wanted them to do? He wanted them to touch him. Amen. Because when we touch God, that changes our whole outlook and our whole understanding. And you know what? When we get a hold of the Lord, we'll say, woe is me. Woe is me, God. Woe is me. You've given me mercy. And if I'm not careful, Lord, I'm walking my own way. And by the way, thinking I'm right. Isaiah thought he was right. He was pointing out and he said, oh, it's me. It's me also. Notice. He says, verse 39 again, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Now, I want you to know something. The Lord is not doing that for himself. The Lord didn't need to eat. He was doing that because he wanted them to see that when he ate it, it wasn't going to drop on the floor. Because they thought he was a spirit, right? Verse 42. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. Now, did you see that? They weren't eating. Remember, the other disciples just got there and they were telling them the story about what Jesus had just done for them. Do you remember that? So, hey, he said, get him something to eat. So they find broiled fish in a honeycomb. They wanted to watch him eat it. Listen, we need to see God do his work because it solidifies and strengthens our faith in him. And so he says, yeah, we got a honeycomb. Notice what he did. Verse 43, and he took it and did eat before them. Did you see that? He took it and did eat before them. Why did he do that? He's the only one that's eating. Now, wouldn't that be awkward if you came in with in a group of people? Have you ever imagined this thought here? A group of people are there. Hey, do you got any food? Yeah, okay, I'm going to eat it now. And they're just watching you. Wouldn't that be awkward? Gee, you want to eat with me? You know, you want to have some food too? No, he wasn't doing it for the sake of eating. He wasn't concerned about how he looked before them. Jesus knew that they needed to see that he could eat this. And that he was who he said he was, even though he was right there in front of them. And likewise also in your life and mine, we need to see who he says he is in our own personal life. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. These things had to be fulfilled. And at that moment, because of what God was doing for them right then and there, it opened up their understanding. So, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand what? The scriptures. Well, I thought they already knew it before. Oh, yeah, they did. They knew Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. They knew that. But not like they did now. See, God has to get involved, or we just think we know the word of God. What would those believers have been like if the Lord never showed up that night? Not like he wanted them to be. They would have never been what he wanted. Listen, they would have never been what God wanted them to be unless he entered into their life. Until he gave them a revelation. You and I will never be what God wants us to be until we meet with the Lord. On his terms. In his way. Then what happens? Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And listen, and ye are witnesses of these things. God wants us to be witnesses of the things that God reveals to us. Do you know what a witness is? A witness is somebody, listen, we're not a witness if everybody knows what we're witnessing about. We're a witness of things that people don't know about. That's why you call in a witness. Witness, because nobody else saw it, but the witness was there. We need to witness God in our lives, then that is the power to go out and tell other people about what God is doing in my life and how real God is in my life and how God is working in my life, enough where the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to where the Spirit convicts them of their need of salvation and creates a hunger and a thirst. I like that. I want that for me. Listen, they don't have religion. They don't just go to church. There's something different. There's a relationship. There is something that they have I want. It's not this idea that, well, this is what you ought to be doing. The world doesn't want that. And by the way, God doesn't want them to have that. You know what God wants them to have? Himself. You know what God wants us to have? Himself. And if we're not walking in him, then we're missing the Lord. We're missing everything. And so he says this, and ye are witnesses, verse 48, of these things. And listen, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, or until you be provided with power from on high. Power from where? On high. Power from on high. What does power from on high cause us to do? Be like Christ. And loathe the things of the flesh. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Amen? Amen. If you savor the things that be of men, guess who's not abiding in you and who you're not abiding in? If you savor and you relish and you enjoy the things that bring destruction to the cause of Christ and division to the church of God, you're not walking right with God. You stand like that, you'll stand before the Lord and give a sorry account for your life. You are if you've been participating and pulling down what God is trying to build up, you'll give an account before Him. If you're standing in your own righteousness, by golly, and I'm right, then you'll stand like that before the Lord. And I promise you, it's not going to be a pretty picture. And let me just tell you something here, okay? I've worked since the late 1980s with young people. I've had groups as 30 and 40 young people that I've worked with, all right? And in church camp, my goodness, and then it gets even larger than that. And so I've been involved with young people, and you've seen them. They've done something wrong, and maybe they've done something wrong to somebody else, and everybody saw it. Listen, you need to say you're sorry. For what? For what? Why do I need to say I'm sorry? Well, you just kicked the chair out from under them. You need to tell them you're sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. And they walk away. Is that really, were they really sorry? And so when are we really sorry for walking our own ways? Oh God. Oh God. Forgive me. And enable me, Lord, not to, Lord, forgive me. Shine the light that I might not walk in my darkness, Lord, that I might understand I can lead myself. I love you, God, just as Peter loved the Lord, and go his own way and deny the Lord. Can we not do that? If we are not building the church of God, we're not for the Lord. Didn't Jesus say that? You're either for me or what? I didn't say that. The Lord did. So if you're not for what God is doing, then you must be against it. And that grieves the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, listen, we need to do business with God. What are we going to wait for? When the wind is blowing right? What are we going to wait for? Till you stand before the Lord and it's too late? What are we going to do? We're just going to stand firm and not be moved. That's not a good place to be when God is saying, come. Come and make things right. Come and seek my face. Come and let me bring a blessing. Come and let me pour out a blessing. Come and let me show you what I can do in your life and the peace that I can bring. If you'll come and you'll say, oh God, work in my life. Lord, I do want your blessings in my life, and I do want the blessing. I do want to see you. I do want to see you bring souls to salvation. But that'll never happen when we're full of ourselves. But here's what it takes. Ready? Not my preaching. And whatever preaching I have, I pray comes from God. And I praise Him anytime somebody tells me that it's a blessing. You need God to open your eyes. I need God to open my eyes. And do you think there might be a time of prayer where we would humble ourselves and say, oh God, maybe I've had this all wrong. Maybe I've been participating in things that dishonor you in my own righteousness. Or we can just sit there and not make a move and just wait till we stand before the Lord in eternity and see how it falls then. And miss out on what God wants to do on this side of eternity. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. And we ask the blessing on this invitation, your invitation, Lord, and our opportunity. Bless, speak to hearts as only you can. And may we humble ourselves and say, oh God, that I may not walk in my way, that I might not listen to the things you've told me not to listen to, that I might not be party and participate in things that bring demise and destruction to your name and to your cause, but that you might work your will and way in my life. Bless, Lord, may you give us a heart of compassion. May you give us a heart of your peace and your love, one for another, as you intended it to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.